Our proclamation continues with this sermon and some reflections. Lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring, ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high as the listening skies. Let it resound loud as the rolling sea. Sing a song full of the faith that the dark past has taught us. Sing a song full of the hope that the present has brought us. Facing the rising sun of a new day begun, let us march on till victory is won. Pray with me. Gracious God, we do pause in this moment to pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. And we pray that you will indeed add blessing to the reading and hearing of your word. In Christ's name, amen. So that poem, those verses that I just read, are the first verse of the hymn that we're going to sing after this sermon message this morning, after these Montreat scripture readings and Montreat reflections. Four of our youth, as I mentioned, five actually, either stayed in North Carolina or are already on their way to their next week or week's camps this morning. The other three, I assume, are sleeping in. I won't tell you who's who. They earned that sleep in any case for all that happened next week. Let's share a little bit of that. We're singing hymn number 563 in our hymnal because Lift Every Voice was the theme of the PCUSA's Montreat Youth Conference this past week in Montreat, North Carolina. You sent 8 youth and 3 adults to this annual week-long event that celebrates not just the church of the future in our youth, but the church of the present. You would not believe the joy, the love, the energy, the passion, the hope, the promise that these 1,100 youth, senior high youth, brought to assembly and small group recreation and worship every day of the past week. They are the church of the now. If we will just find ways to keep worship important and vibrant and relevant to them. Though no age is an old age is not an excuse, I'm getting old too. All week long, I imagined our new youth director, Asia, in conversations and in our midst. We sang songs this past week that Asia introduced to us last year. We had conversation this past week that Asia had already begun with our youth. Our future is in good hands with our leadership and with those young people. Us older people need to get creative and courageous in providing the spaces that allow every voice to be lifted up. For again, that is what the theme of the Montreat Youth Conference was this year. It emphasized not one voice, say maybe a pastor's voice, not just a small group of voices, say maybe a session, not even a larger group of voices, say maybe everyone who pledges to a particular congregation. The theme, the conversation, the call this past week at Montreat was to lift every voice. At the opening worship on Sunday evening, it was noted that we can emphasize this theme in many ways. Lift every voice as opposed to suppressing them. Lift every voice as opposed to simply encouraging every presence or lifting up our actions. But finally, the emphasis of the past week was on the second word of the theme statement, lift every voice. And so we began our conversation last week wondering what voices are present in our lives and choosing to focus on 5. God's voice, difficult voices, our voice, silenced voices, and a united voice. One emphasis for each day of the week last week. Day 1, God's voice. Listen now for the word of God The hand of the Lord came upon me, Ezekiel wrote. God brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. God led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. God said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then God said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We began last week and we begin this morning where we begin whenever we talk about things beyond our ability to articulate fully. We begin deep in the mystery, the creative and transformative power that we most commonly call God. From creation to revelation, from God said, "Let there be light," to these words are trustworthy and true. The voice of God, the sacred, holy, divine reality in our world calls us into being and gives us our life's work. We wondered how we might know when God is speaking, and just as importantly, when God is not speaking. How can we discern God's voice from all of the other voices claiming to be God's? And here is the start. God's voice will always be the one that offers life, abundant life for all. Can these bones live? Oh Lord, you know. Hear the word of the Lord. Day two, we engaged difficult voices. These are the voices in our lives that are not God's voice, that do not offer life to all. But these difficult voices are also the ones that may indeed be from God, but that we most often don't want to listen to. Listen now for the difficult voice of God. They, the crowd, all shouted together, "Away with this fellow, release Barabbas for us." Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." A third time he said to them, "Why, what evil has he done? I found in him no ground for the sentence of death. I will therefore have him flogged and then release him." But they kept urgently demanding with loud shouts that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate gave his verdict that their demand should be granted. He released the man they asked for, the one who had been put in prison for insurrection and murder, and he handed Jesus over to them as they wished. The difficult word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There are voices, of course, that want to silence us. Two difficult voices. We remember the students of Stoneman Douglas High School who had and are still having to listen to difficult voices who tell them that they're too young to understand what's really happening to them. Their voices that told them their own voice was really the voice of their parents or some other adults that were using them to push their own agenda. These are not the voices of God, those telling those youth these things. Young and old, we must identify them and disregard them. These are not the voices of God calling for life abundant. These are the voices calling for us to submit to wills and ways that leave life only to those with authority and wealth and power. Those difficult voices. But there's another kind of difficult voice that we examined on day two. The voices, as I noted, that are difficult to hear, not because they're wrong, but because they're right. And we don't want to listen, let alone change. Though we may not want to acknowledge it, Jesus' own voice is one of the most difficult voices for us to listen to. Blessed are the meek and the merciful, the persecuted and the peacemakers. Are we meek or persecuted? You shall love your enemies and pray for them. Do we? Do not store up for treasures on earth. I know we do just the opposite of that one. Do not worry about tomorrow. Do not judge others. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Difficult voices. How do we discern the difference between the difficult voices we must reject and the difficult voices we must listen to? How do we discover, day three, our voice? Listen for your voice from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But Jesus did not answer her at all. His disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." Jesus answered the woman, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But the woman came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." Jesus answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Some of the most puzzling and fascinating scripture verses in our Bible were the focus of day three as we explored and we discovered our voices. In the passage that we read for that day and that you just heard again, Jesus himself is the difficult voice. Not because he's saying things that we need to hear and don't want to listen to, but precisely because he's saying things that we shouldn't listen to. A non-Israelite woman comes to Jesus and says, "Help me." And Jesus' first response is no voice. He didn't answer at all. When the disciples asked him to send her away because she was bothering them, this woman refused to listen. Jesus spoke an even more difficult voice then than his non-voice. "I'm not here for you," he said. The woman again refuses to listen to Jesus' voice and to use her own. She knelt at his feet and said once more, surely, more forcefully, "Help me." Surely Jesus is not going to refuse her again, right? Wrong. His voice gets even harsher, even more difficult to hear. "My food is for my children, not for the dogs." Wow. I'm pretty sure at this point I'd walk away from this person, Jesus or not. I don't have to listen to this voice. But the woman in our story finds her voice in even deeper ways and reminds Jesus himself that we are all God's children. And with that voice, her voice, rooted in the voice of God that speaks life for all, Jesus himself finally hears, finally responds. Now, I don't know about you, but I had a bone and I have a bone to pick with Jesus in this exchange. Many have explained away this passage by saying that Jesus is just testing this woman's faith, but there's no indication in Matthew that that's the case. In any case, we'll have to leave that for another day, because this day was about finding our own voices and our focus was on the woman, the Canaanite woman, the very embodiment of the voice of faith. She set the stage for all of us to discover day four, the silenced voices. Now, our scripture most often identifies the silenced voices as the alien, refugee, the orphan, the widow, used over and over again in both Old and New Testament. that Scripture is unequivocal in its command to care for them. Listen for the word of God from Deuteronomy: cursed be anyone who deprives the alien, the orphan, and the widow of justice. And all the people shall say, Amen. The word of the Lord about the silenced voices in our world. Thanks be to God. We wondered on day four, we wonder this morning, whose voices are we silencing? What happens when voices that need to be heard are silenced? What role do we have in helping silenced voices be heard? Our youth were asked in their small groups to create a list of all of the voices in their world, in our world, that are too easily silenced. The lists they put together were long. And it shouldn't surprise you that most of them included themselves as youth. We have work to do to give voice to the silenced. And we will only accomplish that with day five, united voices. From Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, indeed the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot were to say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear were to say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as God chose. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. The word of the Lord for a unified people. Thanks be to God. It will take no less than every one of these voices to complete our task, the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Our sermon hymn, steeped in a particular history, recognizes the challenge of this endeavor, but expresses the faith that it shall be. In 1899, a young poet and a school principal named James Weldon Johnson was asked to address a crowd in Jacksonville, Florida, for the coming anniversary of Abraham Lincoln's birthday. Barely three decades had passed since the end of the American Civil War, and just two decades had passed since the Reconstruction era. Lynchings were on the rise in the segregated South. Instead of preparing an ordinary speech, Johnson decided to write a poem. He began with the simple but powerful line, a call to action: lift every voice and sing. He paced back and forth on his front porch, it is written, agonizing over the lines of the poem. After finishing each stanza, he handed over the lyrics to his classically trained brother, John Rosamond Johnson, who put the words to music. As they wrote, the words and the notes evoking the struggle and the resilience of their ancestors, they began to weep. According to biographies, Johnson recounted, "I could not keep back the tears and made no effort to do so." The song was very soon embraced as a hymn in churches and performed at graduation ceremonies and in school assemblies. Within 20 years, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People adopted Lift Every Voice and Sing as its official song for generations to come, and still today it's widely known as the Black National Anthem. It is in our hymnal, hymn number 563. Our hymnal, the songbook of a predominantly white denomination, as a reminder of all of the voices that have been silenced in the past, and every voice now and in the future that must be lifted up. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, though you who has brought us thus far on our way, thou who has by thy might led us into the light, keep us forever in the path, we pray. Please Stand if you're comfortably able to do so, and let us sing all together, every voice with one voice.